Back at it again. I'm also going to highlight some extra problems. This government doesn't care about you, and some can argue they never have, but it's one thing hearing about it in the abstract and then shocking to see it all play out openly during a time of national crisis. And you know, regardless of your thoughts on crisis, on COVID, it is a national crisis one way or the other. Not only has this government left you with nothing, right? They've left you to starve. They've left you to not be able to support your family, support your children. They've shut down your business. They've done a slew of nasty things, right? And now they're taking community college off the table, and they've all but done away with the promised student loan debt relief. Now, some cynical people might say, oh, well, that was never going to happen. But let's be honest, that's why a large chunk of people, especially of my generation, pushed, you know, oh, well, if you want to believe that people of my generation pushed this senile old person into office in the United States, I have a much different theory, but those who know me know my disdain and disgust for the Democrat Party in any and all forms. Point being, what can you truly do, right? Well, you can figure out what you stand for. You can figure out what you value. You can figure out in this world that wants you to go along with the mainstream narrative, go along with the popular narrative. What you have to do is take your values, find them, and then stand fast, right? And recognize what you can move back on, so to speak, and what you need to remain ironclad with, right? You have to recognize what personality traits do you have, right? And I mean naturally have, not via circumstance. And this is something I've also talked about before. Who are you, right? In the sense that, is your personality traits really you, or are they just the habits that you've developed for survival, right? Because a lot of people, myself included, have developed personality traits for survival that may or may not match up to us, right? Maybe we had to develop certain traits in order to get out of a situation. Maybe we had to develop certain traits in order to get through into a situation, right? But it doesn't mean it's us, right? The Japanese have a saying, everyone has three faces. You have the public face that you show everyone else. You have the face for your family and your close friends. And then you have the face that you show to nobody else. Now, I don't know how true that is, but there's at least something of a two-faced nature in our society, you know, and partially for good reason, partially for bad reasons. Partially for good reasons in the sense that, you know, you don't always want to broadcast every single thing loudly and annoyingly, right? You just get a lot of aggro, a lot of heat. Then again, maybe you are that type of person. Maybe you like the controversy, the aggro, the heat. Maybe that attention kind of, you know, gives you what you're lacking. Other way around. Maybe you find solace in your own thoughts. Maybe you find you're able to just sit back and think through everything. You're able to do it. But when does that become a way of delaying action, right? How long until all you do is think and you need to take action? Another thing, find out what politically do you want, right? And then connect it to a bigger political movement. Like, for example, if you're a believer in specific, you know, measures and movements, ask yourself why. Quick example, I am for student debt relief. Why? Because it has saddled my generation, generation before me, and the generation after me with insurmountable debt. Now, why is that relevant? Well, whenever you see articles being run about how millennials, you know, aren't married, how millennials aren't having kids, how millennials have like the lowest home ownership, and how we own the least percentage of the GDP out of any generation short of the next generation, a lot of that was because our parents, the society, everyone around us pushed college as the only way to go. Now, whether college is good or bad, that's your own personal opinion. But it was made out to be the only singular option that you had. There were no other options made available. And whatever few other options you found out, it was considered like beneath you. If you think I'm joking, go ask, you know, go ask everyone around you. Go ask everyone of the same generation. Like, what did your parents say when you wanted to do something else? Oh, no, you have to go to college, right? Especially the immigrant parents. For example, I am for universal basic income. Why? Because that is the one effective government policy of the past few decades. And to think, they only did it once. They've only done it once during this whole pandemic. They've only done it once, right? And even then, it was a one-time check. It wasn't, you know, every single month. Spoke volumes that someone is, you know, quote-unquote hated by the average person as Richard Nixon, who was the president in the 70s. He tried to push forth that that policy. Guess who stopped him? The same scumbags who subverted Bernie Sanders to elections running, who subverted Tulsi Gabbard, you know? Why? Because they benefit from the status quo. Filthy Democrats. Filthy liberals. Point being, I have certain values that I hold because I've taken time to sit down and apply to them and really understand precisely what's going on. I have become more and more pro-worker as time has gone on. Why? Because I am a worker. I'm a millennial who's had to work a job almost every single day since I turned 17. Since I had to support my parents back when the recession hit, I graduated high school and, you know, everything turned to shit. And I needed to help my family out. And so I got up, I worked, you know. It taught me quite a lot of things, you know, taught me something of a work ethic, a little bit of discipline, you know. It also taught me not to burn yourself out, because there were times where I did that. It also taught me to recognize that businesses need you more than you need them. And nowhere was that ever shown as the great resignation that happened recently. Now, a lot of people try to say, oh, it's because of, you know, it's because of underpayment or people don't want to work, blah, blah, blah. Anybody that says that with a straight face is either a liar or very misguided. I'm going to be very honest. It's not that people don't want to work because of high unemployment. If unemployment's paying more than an average job, it's the job that's the problem. Unemployment shouldn't be paying you more than your other job, right? Your other job should be paying more. Unemployment will only give you a portion of your job. If unemployment's paying you more than your old job, the problem is the job. It always was. But that's the dirty little secret that our system is built upon. Businesses value exploiting workers. Not all of them, but quite a few of them. A lot of them. Why? Because that is how profit works. Every business owner wants to minimize costs and maximize profit. And profit is the result of costs of money being brought in minus the overhead costs, minus, you know, the benefits and things like that. They want as much profit as possible. So what will they do? They will make people part-time instead of full-time. They will make you part-time, but then make you work as many hours as full-time, while officially you're still part-time, so you don't qualify for benefits, right? If you have any type of salary, they'll make you work extra without paying you extra. Why? Because the salary pays you. That's what nobody wants to talk about. And they'll constantly threaten that you'll lose your job because there's always someone there to replace you. What does that mean? That is what Marx talked about when he mentioned the reserve army of labor, right? Capitalism survives off of a slew of people that are unemployed and most often underemployed. Why? Because it's a sword of Damocles over every worker's head. But there was something about this past couple of years in which the workers said, fuck this, I don't care, go hire someone else, I'm looking for something else. And a lot of them did, or a lot of them started their own, you know, online jobs, right? Or a lot of them were able to negotiate with their employer. And the dirty little secret of that, that nobody wants to talk about with their salt, was that it was all done because of the vaccination mandates, right? Nobody will openly admit it, of course, because it breaks the narrative, but it was because of the vaccination mandates. I can tell you every business lost people because of the vaccination mandates, and suddenly they were all like, oh shit, we're bleeding out staff at a record pace. We need a minimum amount of staff to make sure our company runs decently, right? And then you notice right around the similar time, that was when Starbucks managed to get the Starbucks workers managed to get the union through, right? Going back to it, I have certain views that I hold because I have sat down and I've thought about my beliefs, right? Why do I believe in the things that I believe? And it's not just because, oh, school taught me or this famous YouTuber taught me. No, I walked in ready to be proven wrong. I walked in ready to prove them wrong. But then they would, you know, I would dig information, I'd find things, I'd ask questions, and I would find the answers lacking with some, and then find better answers on another. That's really what nobody wants to talk about, right? Because too few have any self-awareness, right? And to be fair, it's not your fault. You weren't given self-awareness in this society. You were given a multitude of distractions, or worse, the need to constantly have to survive every single time. You don't have time to sit down and think and really go over everything that's gone on. Not until much, much later in the day when it's already too late and you're too tired, right? So nobody wants to talk about. In other words, see where you stand, why you stand that way, and then try to find an organization or make one that is reflective to your values as possible, right? If there are no genuine working class parties where you are, heck, maybe start your own. If there's a way you can get into local politics or help in your local community, start there, do there as best you can. Those are the solutions, right? Find like-minded people, no matter what side of the political spectrum they're on. Because chances are, you'll agree with somebody else on the quote-unquote other end of the political spectrum on a few things, right? Doesn't have to be everything. You don't have to align 100% with every single person that you meet, nor should you. You're human, they're human. They're going to interpret things differently than you are, and vice versa. But that's really what's needed. That's really what needs to be done. You know, workers' councils, right? Unions that aren't just beholden to the Democrats, right? Like the teachers' union. Unions that genuinely care about the workers, right? Finding small examples of small businesses that genuinely care about their customers, right? Again, finding ways to, you know, help locally, because that is ironically where the biggest change can happen and where the biggest corruption can happen, right? I've said this for years, even when I was on hell different politics. Local corruption is the worst corruption you'll ever find. Why? Because you live there. Because it's, you deal with it every single day. Because nothing will change for the better in your community if there is local corruption, right? But a lot of places, big cities to small towns, have deeply entrenched systems, deeply entrenched corruptions. And it gets worse if it's a one-party state, because there's no legitimate political threat to that one party that runs that city or that county or that town, right? If you are in a all-Democrat city, good luck trying to run as a Republican. If you are in an all-Republican city, good luck trying to run as a Democrat, right? And even if you do run as a Democrat or in one area, or Republican in another area, it's not, you're going to get subverted. You're going to get pushed down. You're going to get, you know, drowned out, if you will, by the scumbags at the top who benefit from the status quo. And, oh, they don't want to change anything because that would make them lose their cushy positions. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need genuine people's power, right? And it's got to start locally. You're not going to get, I'm sorry to say, you are not going to get anywhere nationally. Maybe you'll get somewhere in the state, but you're not going to get anywhere nationally. Local by local by local by local. That is how the Soviets did it. That is how every single genuine movement did it. Starting local and building upward, right? Because it took time, right? Nothing happened in a snap of a finger. Even Russia had two revolutions before the 1917 one, right? None of the revolutions, there were multiple strikes and actions and things like that that didn't work, right? So it's all something to think about. It's all something to push forward. It's all something to see. I'll let you chew on that. I'll be around.